Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
There are four pillars to the kingdom of God. I've talked about them often. Love is the first pillar. Faith is the second pillar. Righteousness is the third pillar. Prosperity is the fourth pillar. You have to qualify that word prosperity. But I want to talk on this Thanksgiving night, not about turkeys, but I want to talk about the second pillar. I want to talk about faith, which is my favorite subject to talk about. And I just got all inspired Sunday about faith. And I said to myself, for every guy on the service Sunday, that's what I want to talk about Wednesday night is faith. So I want to talk about refresh your faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Refresh your faith. You may be seated. Faith is the ongoing frontier of the kingdom of God. Never conquered by anybody, never franchised by a few. It's just there. It's available to anybody, but not easily obtainable in its quantity. The Bible teaches us that God gave every man a measure of faith, and I believe that without a measure of faith, it's impossible for a man to live, to exist. And so that measure of faith is there. I'm not talking about that measure of faith. I'm talking about the faith of acquisition. That means acquiring things with your faith. That's what the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is talking about. Acquisition faith. Faith that will acquire things. Faith that will go out in the dark of the night. And when the sunlight reveals what you have obtained, you have possessed something. The Bible said, possess your soul. You possess spiritual things. And so there is nothing like faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's difficult to describe because it is so indescribable. It is so vast. It is so awesome. It has so many facets. It is a tremendous subject, but when you've got through preaching for a long time about it, you have not scratched even the surface of one of thousands of facets of faith. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It is that understanding of the Word of God that realizes that a nobody can be a somebody, because with faith, you can create a world that is the envy of everybody when you have faith. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Faith is not a momentary flash. It's not a flash in the pan. Faith is a focus. It's not a feeling in the church service. You might get a feeling if somebody is singing well, if the congregation is worshiping to their best ability in concert, if the preacher is doing his very best. You might have a momentary flash of excitement, but that's not real faith. Because real faith is a focus, not a flash. Faith is a stakeout. In the old detective movies, I used to like to watch, I still like to watch those old movies where somebody will stake out somebody and they'll stand on the street corner and watch for hours or sit in a car all night long. They're staking out somebody. Well, faith is a stakeout. It's getting your focus on something and you're saying, I'm going to watch this come to reality. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some people that think they have faith and say they have faith, the moment there is an absence of evidence, their faith is gone. So it was feigned faith, not real faith. Because real faith can hold its focus even when there is absolutely no confidence. When the reports are negative and the evidences are evasive and the things that people are saying are totally adverse to what you want to hear. But you still have focused in on the things that you've hoped for. And you say, this is going to come to pass. Faith is a stakeout. Focus your faith on the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for in your life? And you say, that's what I want. And you focus on it. To focus on it does not mean that you have a passing fancy. It does not mean for a few hours or a couple of days. You say, boy, I'd like to have that. That's not the focus of faith. The focus of faith is never, ever giving up. The focus of faith is never losing your attention. It's what Jesus called the single eye. You've got focus only for one thing until that comes to pass in your life. And so how do you focus your faith? The Bible is very explicit about that. It tells us in the first Psalm. It tells us in various places how we focus our faith. We meditate. We get it on our mind. We get it on our mind. You know, I was talking yesterday to somebody, and I was talking about speaking things. But before you ever speak it, it formulates in your mind. You got to get it in your meditation brain. You got to begin to just think of that constantly. That's real faith. It's something that never leaves your thought train very far. And when you have to take care of your daily menial things of life, very quickly when you have a moment, your faith track comes back and you're focused on that one thing, whether it's a healing for your body or salvation for your child or a business that God has given you a vision, or you focus on that thing. And so the writer would talk about meditating day and night. So you focus your faith, number one, by meditating. It's very simple. It starts in your brain, it goes through your mouth, and then it goes into action. That's the way everything comes to pass in your life. And so faith is a focus. You must meditate on that. Begin to think on it. If you don't meditate on that a part of every day, you don't really have faith for it, and you don't really hope for it, and you don't really have a desire for it. It was just a passing whim. And I can tell you that the things that I have obtained through faith are things that I wrestle with in the night and things that I dreamed about in the day and conversed with in the Holy Spirit to the God that is my creator and the God that is my energy source. And so meditate, number one. And number two, how to focus your faith, meditate. Number two, prayer, confession, speaking. After you get it embedded in your mind, I mean it's embedded in your mind. The Bible said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you meditate on something long enough, when it's the things that you have that you hope for long enough, after a while it becomes second nature to confess those things and to pray over those things. And every time you pray, no matter what the initiative is for the prayer, in the time that you do pray, there will be entwined in that particular request that voice that talks about the thing that you're meditating on, the thing that overrides everything else. And so you pray and you confess and you speak. And the third thing is, then you work. Just to say that you desire something or you hope for something and you do not avail yourself to every opportunity to equip that dream is a sign that you really don't have great faith for that. You don't have focused faith for that, because you begin to meditate on that. You begin to think about that. You begin to speak it. And then when you see any little thing you can do to make that focused faith, that dream, that desire come to pass, you'll get up and do that. When I came to San Antonio and we were first building this church, the first church over there, I don't know, been here 4 or 5 years by that time. And so we wanted to build a building and we wanted to get a church and we ran out of money. And so, but it was something I meditated on all the time. We got it up about, I don't know, halfway through, got it dried in, out of money. But I didn't lose my focus. That was my focus. It's all I thought about. It's all I talked about. It's what I prayed about every day. It's what I believed about every day. And when I couldn't get it finished, I just did some little things. You say, well, it's silly. But it does something to your spirit. It does something to your brain. It says something to devils. It runs devils off. It escorts in angels. And I remember getting me a pair of bib overalls. My daddy, occasionally he'd wear bib overalls. I've never been a big fan of bib overalls. I just, you know, they're like caps. They're not the most appealing apparel. I've never seen anybody that put on a cap that suddenly looked more intelligent. I'm just going to tell you that. I've got some caps, but I don't wear them because they immediately diminish the apparel and the appeal of your intelligence. For anybody, that's everybody. I don't care if you're a baseball player and you're on the mound. That's not your best look. And I'm going to tell you, worse than that is bib overalls. You just don't look like a scholar in bib overalls. I know you have a PhD, but in bib overalls, you don't look like a scholar. You look like a man in bib overalls or a lady in bib overalls. But I was desperate When you get desperate enough, you don't care how you look. When you get desperate enough, you're not thinking about appearances. You're thinking and meditating on what it is that you want and that you believe that God is going to manifest in your life. And so I buried my pride and I put on a pair of bib overalls. And I didn't get just regular blue bib overalls. No, I got bright orange bib overalls. And they had a little hook here on the side, you know, a little deal where I could drop my hammer in there. I wasn't no carpenter, but I was going to make myself look like a carpenter. I had my hammer, my bib overalls, had my tape measure right here, and I had a whole bunch of things, and I had, you know, a little level I could tie on me, and I could put a carpenter's pencil up here. I had all kinds of things. And I'd go over in that half-finished building. I'd just walk around. I didn't know what to do. There wasn't nobody there. Didn't have any money to go buy my own material. But I'd walk around. Why? I'll tell you the reason why. I was focusing in on the desire of my heart. Sometimes you're going to look foolish to other people. But the people that were laughing, they ain't got no church building like this. I can tell you that right now. The people that are making fun, they're somewhere doing nothing. They're somewhere waiting on a turkey leg right now. But praise God, I got bigger things to fry than turkeys. I got main things on my mind because I'm operating in faith. You ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. As I like to say, the best is next. Some people say the best is yet to come. But I'm cutting edge. I say the best is next. Praise God. I'm leaning into that too. I'm listening to all these young preachers. Every young preacher that comes through here, he's leaning into something. That's the phrase now. Lean into it. Put that in your vocabulary. I got to lean into this. So remember that. So anyway, the best is next. The best is yet to come. I don't care how you say it, friend. I'm telling you, it's going to get bigger and it's going to get better. Praise God. In the name of Jesus Christ. But you've got to get that meditation, and then you've got to get that prayer, and then you've got to get that confession, and then you've got to do everything that you can possibly do. And when you run out of resources, that's exactly when God takes over. As long as you've got a few fishes packed away in your lunchbox, Jesus is not going to multiply them. You've got to get them out and put them in His hands, praise God. And today, somebody in this building right now, you've got something big in your life. You've got something that you focused on, and somebody's tried to distract you. If I lined up all the people that tried to discourage me in my venture in the Holy Ghost and what God's called me to do, they'd be from here to the Capitol building in Austin, Texas. Those people simply do not matter. The people that are trying to malign your dream, the people that are trying to explain why you can't, you say, well, they tell you, you don't have enough education. There are people with less education than you've got, done more than you will have done in your life. Don't worry about what they tell you. Don't buy into their excuses. Don't buy into their negativity. Don't buy into their criticism. Get your faith focused and begin to meditate on it. I'm not giving up. I got my eye on it. And praise God, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can. I heard about a man that lost his church building. I felt so sorry for him. He built a beautiful church building, and it was repossessed, you know, a year or so ago. And then I found out that when he had to leave, you know, it was over. When he left, he still had hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't understand that, folks. As long as I got money, this church has got money. I can tell you that. It wouldn't matter if I had to live in a little house by the side of the road, if I had to live in a little garage right on the back of the parking lot. I put the kingdom of God first. I put the church first because that's my focus. That's what I'm not expecting everybody to have that same focus. God's called you to focus on things, but that's my focus, is the church is always first. And as long as I got money, the church has got money, praise God. I would take my last money and make a church payment. I'd take my last money and keep those lights burning because that's what I focus on. That's what I live for, the kingdom of God. And I also understand if I put the kingdom of God first, God will take care of me. I've always put God first, and God's always taken care of me. I've always put God's house first, and God has taken care of me. And so you got to focus your faith, meditation, prayer, confession, speaking, and thirdly is works. Everything you can to get your dream to come to pass. Now you need to refresh your faith. Refresh your faith. The Bible said that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith comes by the hearing of God, and you realize that your faith is diminishing, what's the obvious thing you should do? Go back to where you acquired it. You acquired your faith from the Word of God. You know, Pastor Brandon was saying a while ago, said you can listen to this message tomorrow, and in my flesh I'm saying, why would they want to? Because they just heard it. Because the Bible teaches us about repetition. I went down to hear Jerry Seinfeld. Remember Jerry Seinfeld? He's a funny guy and real clean in his show. So I went down to hear him several years ago, and he was down here at the Majestic. And it was a funny show. It was real clean, no cursing, no nothing. And it's hard to find things like that that I can go to that I'm not offended by, that I'm not uncomfortable. But Jerry was very funny that night. And so he said, now I'll be in Dallas tomorrow night. And this woman stood up and said, and I'll be there too, Jerry. And he said, why? I'm going to say the exact same thing I said tonight. Well, that's the world, but it's not the Word of God. Because in order for you to grow your faith, when you realize that it is diminishing, you have to go back to where your faith started. Your faith started with the Word of God. You heard the Word of God. You heard the report of the Word of God. And so you must hear it again. Repetitious hearing of the Word of God is absolutely essential to receiving and maintaining faith. You just read the Bible through like it's a novel, it's not going to change your life most likely. But if you will begin to take the Word of God, as the Bible said, rightly divide the Word of God. That means you're dissecting it. You're applying it. You're getting it in your spirit. And you got to hear it over and over and over and over again. And I've heard the Word of God so many times, but sometimes I will hear a verse that I have probably quoted 500 times, and I've heard it preached on that many times, and I will hear that verse, and it will take on a brand new import, a brand new lesson, a brand new revelation, a brand new energy, because the Word of God is alive. There's nothing like the Word of God. The Word of God, it's a living document. It's a living document. And so you must hear it repetitiously. What is the purpose of the refresh button on a computer? You want to refresh on a computer. What is it? In general, refreshing, it refreshes another way of describing the process of reloading or updating what is being displayed. You see, when you begin to hope for something, you have a mental display. You see that on the screen of your mind. This is what I want. I want that daughter of mine saved. I see her giving her life to Christ. I want that automobile. I want that job. I want that business. I want this ministry. You get it on the screen of your mind. You can see it. But after a while, the cares of the life begin to try to diminish it and try and drag it away and take it away, and it becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. I have a television in my office. I had a television in my office, and I have had it 13 years. And I noticed that television is getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And so you know what I did? I went and got me a new television. I just got it put in there yesterday, and oh, today it was so bright. Friends, some of you have let your vision, the thing you hope for, get very, very dim. You need to go get you a refresh. You need to push the refresh button and say, wait just a minute, I forgot what I used to pray about. I forgot what I was dreaming about. And you need to refresh it. Reload your substance of things hoped for. Remember, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Friend, if you've got true faith, you've got things you're hoping for, and you hold them forever. And when it starts getting dim, you refresh it. It gets bright again. You say, I'm going to have that. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to possess that. That's going to be mine. I know it is. God promised it. And so the question tonight is, how fresh is your faith? You know, we love to sing, His mercy is fresh every morning. If His mercy is fresh every morning, we probably ought to renew our faith every morning. That's the reason why we get up and we rehearse the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We pray the Word of God. You know, Jesus promised us bread. How often? Daily. Daily bread. But God expects daily faith for daily bread. You cannot go to the kingdom of God and say, I need daily mercy and I need daily bread, but I don't have any daily faith. If you're going to show up at the store, you better have something. And the Bible said, come without money and buy, but it never said, come without faith and buy. When you go to God's market, you better make sure that you're carrying a little basket full of faith and say, my faith is fresh as it ever was. I'm here to say that I believe that God is going to do what He promised He is going to do in my life. Some of you have said, well, I thought it was going to, people, you know, I thought it was going to happen, Pastor, but I guess not. You know what? That's a real reflection on that you never really had faith to start with. You just had pseudo faith, feigned faith. You had talking faith, but not walking faith. Because now you're saying, well, I guess not. If you guess not, it's because you didn't really believe it back then. Because if you really got faith, you refresh that faith every day. Get up every day and thank God you're saved. Praise God. His mercy is fresh every morning. His bread is fresh every morning, but my faith is fresh every morning, praise God. I get up every morning and say, the Lord, He's still on my side. The Lord is still on my side. The Lord is still my way maker. The Lord is still my provider. The Lord is still my keeper. He's still the same God. He has not diminished in power. He has not diminished in love. He has not diminished in His desire to bless me. He has not diminished in His desire to prosper me. He's still the same God. And my fresh faith says the God that was is the God that is, and He is the God that will be. And so that means today the Lord is still on my side. I've got fresh faith, praise God. And so you need to have daily faith. The Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. It's a unique story. But it was about the children of Israel when they were out in the wilderness, and they were hungry. And God said, I'm going to feed you. And so the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. He said, I'm going to prove them. But He said, they got to go out every day and gather it. And He said, they can't gather more than just enough for that day. Somebody said, well, I got faith for tomorrow. No, you need faith for today. Jesus said not even to be concerned about tomorrow. He said, evil thereof is the day that will take care of that today, tomorrow. But He said, you need to concentrate on today. You need to get your faith fresh every day. And so some of the people said, you know, that's too much trouble. You've seen those people. They like to go to church once a month. They like to go to church every other Sunday. They like to go to church four or five times a year. And they think that they're walking in faith. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus said, that God said to the children of Israel, He said, you got to go out and get that manna every day. And not only that, you got to get it early. Because the Bible said when the sun came up, the manna would melt. You see, whatever they didn't get in them, they lost. You might come here to the atmosphere of this church and say, oh, it was so good. But whatever you don't get in you, you're going to lose. You got to get it inside of you. It's not enough that it felt good. It's not enough that it looked like everybody's being blessed. Whatever you don't get inside of you, you're going to lose. And so you ought to come to the house of God every time you come and say, praise God, I'm going to get all I can inside of me. Because I've got to go out and I've got to operate. See, that was what gave them the strength and the sustenance and the energy for their day of travel. And so what you get here is going to have to do you. And so you need to get it inside of you. It's not just enough to say, oh, that choir sang good. Oh, I enjoyed that. You've got to be able to get in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost just open you up. And praise God, just put it inside of you. When you walk out of this place, it's not going to melt under the sunshine and the heat of adversity. But praise God, it's going to be there to energize you. And so the Bible said then in Exodus 16, 19, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. He said, you can't keep this overnight. He said, you've got to get this manna and you've got to use it all that day. You can't have any leftovers. I don't like leftovers. You like leftovers? I don't like leftovers. Sean likes leftovers. We just give our leftovers to Sean. He just loves leftovers. Any of you young women that's not married, just marry Sean. You only have to cook once a week. Cook on Monday. He's good till Saturday. It's a psychological thing with me. I just like it real fresh. Real fresh. I don't like leftovers. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that he's done a study on gravy. And he said, his wife's a great cook, Johnny told me this the other night. He said, I did a research on gravy, Steve. And he said, even if the gravy is refrigerated at the acceptable temperature, he said, there's all kinds of things breeding in your gravy. So he said, I tell my wife, throw that gravy out. I want it fresh. I want it fresh. Oh, I love fresh things. God loves fresh things. You know how good you praised God last week? Don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. You've got to get your praise on tonight. You say, well, I praise God Sunday. Don't mean a thing. We all the way to Wednesday now. And God said, hey, I tell you what I want. I want some fresh praise here tonight. I want a fresh shout. I want a fresh tear. I want a fresh dance. I want a fresh hand clap. I want a fresh song. I want some fresh gratitude. Praise God. God said, let's keep it fresh. There's a reason why he said you can't settle on your leaves. There's the reason why he said you got to stir up your gift. God likes things that are fresh. And I like this, because if God wants our faith to be fresh, that means every day that God's going to get up and is going to create a fresh miracle for my life, and he does not expect me to live on what I had 5 years ago or 5 days ago, but praise God, this very night on a Wednesday night, it does not matter who says what. I know that my God is standing and saying, if you will have fresh faith, I've got a fresh deposit, a fresh miracle, a fresh manifestation on a Wednesday night. God's not concerned about the turkey. God's not concerned about your dressing. God said, I'm here, and all I'm looking for is some fresh faith. There's somebody here tonight. If you would give God some fresh love, fresh praise. You got a daughter that's running the streets, but praise God, by Sunday she'd be in this church praising God. Some of you need a miracle in your life. You say, well, I've believed God for years. That's not the question, how many years you believe for it. It's what are you thinking about it right now? Right now. Fresh faith. Praise God. And God said, you can't not store up that manna. He said, in the morning when you get up, you better not have no manna left, because he said, this is what happened. He said, it will breed worms and stink. That sweet, oh, that manna was sweet. It was better than cinnamon rolls. Oh, it was better than jelly rolls. It was almost as good as Twinkies. Oh, it's better than pineapple upside down cake. Oh, it was better than sopapillas with lots of honey on them. Oh, it was better than anything you've ever ate. That's how good that manna was. It was so sweet. But if you tried to store it overnight and you got up for breakfast, can you imagine that first? You know, they didn't know that at first. They didn't believe that at first. Can you imagine that first guy got up and he had sleep in his eyes and he went into the kitchen and he said, honey, where's that manna? She said, it's right there on the cabinet. And he just reached over and got a big piece of that manna and put it in his mouth. He said, whoa, what's that smell? They said, what's that crawling around in my mouth? The Bible said that manna stank and bred worms. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you think you're living on yesterday's praise? You're kidding yourself. God ain't living on leftovers. God's not even living on stuff you heat in the microwave. Friend, you've got to take a little time and cook it. You got to peel those potatoes. They're not frozen french fries. God said, I don't want none of that quick freeze stuff. God said, I want everything fresh. You and I on a fresh basis. You give me fresh faith, I'll give you fresh miracles. You give me fresh praise, I'll give you fresh provision. Praise God. You've got to keep your relationship hot with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what happens to churches. I've traveled churches all, and there's churches that used to be so great. They got great buildings and nice people sitting there, but they don't realize to an outsider, you can smell that rotten manna when you walk in the door. It's all about what used to be and how it used to be. God's not interested in what used to be. God's interested in today on a Wednesday night. God wants somebody in this building to just get overcome with praise for what the Lord has done, not 100 years ago, not 2,000 years ago, but look what the Lord has done today. He's been with me all day long. He's fellowshiped with me. He's held my hand. He's kept me safe. He's kept me from getting in a car wreck. I didn't have to call EMS today. I'm not in the hospital today, praise God. I'm not hungry. I didn't run out of gas on the freeway and get hit by a reckless driver. Look what the Lord has done today. And so if you'll just hold my mule, I'm going to shout, praise God. I'm going to give God praise because my praise is fresh every morning, because His mercy is fresh every morning, and His provision is fresh every morning, and my faith is fresh every morning. Getting up in the morning and saying, this is going to be a good day. God's going to do something for me today that He's never done before. There's going to be a miracle today that I've never, ever had before. That's the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with Him. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God. You need to hit the refresh button once in a while. The people went about and gathered it around and ground it in the mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. God wants you to keep it fresh. You say, oh, I've been anointed of the Lord all my life. Not worried about all your life. What about all this day? You've been anointed of the Lord today? It don't matter what you used to. I was watching a man preach on TV. And that crowd was so dead, and he was struggling. And he said, I can't believe you people. He said, I preached this in Manila in the Philippines, and they did so-and-so. The only problem, he was in California. He wasn't in Manila in the Philippines. It was 5 days later. It don't matter what happened in Manila. It's what's happened in San Antonio. It don't matter what happened in your church over across town 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now. It don't matter what the Lord delivered you from 20 years ago. What's happening in your life today? Have you got up this morning and had yourself a little shouting fit and saying, thank you, Lord, you kept me today. I got up in my right mind. I want to give you some praise because I've got fresh faith to offer to you. And God said, I'll make you a trade. You got fresh faith? Here's some fresh bread. Here's some fresh mercy. Here's some fresh joy. Here's some fresh provision. Hallelujah. I'm not going to live on the past. I believe the best days are yet to come. I believe my finest hours yet ahead of me. Praise God. I cannot explain to you what I see in the Holy Ghost. But praise God, a long time before this building was ever here, it's what I meditated on. It's what I prayed about. It's what I worked toward. But now I've got this building here. I've moved on to other things. And I'll tell you what I see in San Antonio, Texas. I see a revival with tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. I see the Holy Ghost falling like rain. I see wheelchairs lined up like an exit ramp. Praise God. I see people getting out of wheelchairs and throwing down crutches. I see old dead religion just falling aside and people getting alive in the Holy Ghost. My faith is fresh. Praise God. It says God is about to do a fresh thing, a thing He's never done in Living Way, never done in San Antonio, never done in my life. And I'm pretty excited about it. Give the Lord some big praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Job said, my glory was fresh in me. Man, boils on your body, sitting there with an old piece of pottery, scraping the pus out of your boils. Just pitiful. But he said, don't matter what I look like. He said, my glory was fresh in me. Friend, I want to ask you, how many people got saved one time? Well, that's three. That's pretty good. I got a whole crowd of people to preach to that never got saved. Your hand didn't go up. Praise God. How many people got filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise God. But let me ask you about the glory that God put in you. He said, I'll put my treasure in an earthen vessel. I want to ask you, has your earthen vessel take on the flavor of the treasure? Or has your treasure become dampened and tainted by the earthen vessel? Which one is it? Are you letting your flesh overcome the glory, or is the glory overcoming the flesh? Job said, no matter what I'm going through, my wife told me to curse God and die. My children are dead. My friends say I'm a hypocrite. All of that, I hear it all, but this is my testimony. Before he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, he said, my glory is fresh in me. Before you can know your Redeemer liveth, you better be able to testify, my glory is fresh in me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences with Almighty God. It started when I was a 10-year-old boy and gave my life to Christ. That was a great night in July in that little town in Illinois. But praise God, it was 3 years later when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. That was a great night. But you can't go back and relive those experiences. You've got to have fresh glory today. And I can tell you tonight, on a Wednesday night, when everybody is thinking about holidays, 50 million people in their cars now going to grandma's house. It's the most traveled day in 10 years, they said on the news today. More people traveling today in America than has traveled in the last 10 years. A lot of things going on, but that's not really where my focus is. My focus is on this fact, that the glory of the Lord is fresh in me. I'm as strong now as when I was saved. I'm stronger now than I was when I got the Holy Ghost. I'm stronger now than when he baptized me in the Spirit. I'm stronger now than when he called me to preach. I'm stronger now than when he healed me of various diseases and sickness. I'm stronger now than 5 years ago when he got me up out of SAMHSA and brought me back to this church. I'm going to tell you, my glory is fresh in me. God is doing a new thing. And so I am commanded and given a mandate by the Holy Ghost. When I rise up in the morning, it's praise God. This is a new day, and the Lord is going to do something big and powerful and mighty in my life, in my church, in my family that I ain't ever seen before. Hallelujah. James asked the question, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Yea, either a vine figs? So then can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? He was talking about contaminated water there. He said, you're either going to give forth fresh water or contaminated water. You can't cuss and carry on at work and show everybody what a jerk you are and then come in here and talk about loving Jesus. If you're going to be a child of God, your water's got to be as fresh at work as it is in church. Your praise has got to be as potent at work as it is at church. Your testimony has got to be as strong at home as it is at church. Do you have fresh water? Is there a fresh river flowing out of your belly? He didn't say, I'll put a cup. He didn't say, I'll put a canister. He didn't say, I'll put a barrel. He said, I'll put a river in your belly. Why? Because a river is a fresh flowing stream. It's always flowing. Is your river fresh? You say, well, I just believe in God for so-and-so. Not if you don't meditate every day. Not if you don't pray every day. Not if you don't talk about it regularly. Not if you're not working everything you can to see it done. You don't have the faith for substance of things hoped for. You've got to work on that every day. And you've got to say, praise God, my faith is fresh every day. I've been praying for my boy for 5 years, but that don't matter. But today, praise God, I'm praying a brand new prayer. I preached to a family in New Orleans, Louisiana. And this lady was a devout Christian. And she was married to Lucifer himself. He was the biggest devil that's ever lived in Louisiana. And they got some big ones over there. But he was a major one. He would beat her. He drank. He was violent. And it wasn't that he would come to church. He'd come to church. But when he did, he'd make a scene. He'd get in a fight in the parking lot. He'd cuss the ushers when he came back. Just a devil. But she began to make up her mind. My husband is going to be saved. And she focused in on him being saved. She had a picture of it. She said, I had to totally repaint my brain. She said, I used to be sitting at home and I think about, I could just see him sitting there on a bar stool at a bar there in New Orleans. But she said, I started seeing him sitting in a church pew. And she said, then I started taking that, and it was no longer a snapshot. She said it became a video. And said he was sitting there, and the preacher was preaching, and said, in my mind, I saw him get up. And I saw him walk the aisle. And I saw him get down on his knees and pray. And then she said, I saw him stand up and begin to raise his hands. And then I saw him begin to praise God. And then I heard him. And she said, I didn't see that once. She said, I saw that year after year, day after day after day after day. She said, he came home one day and said, woman, where's supper? She said, there won't be no supper no more. I said, why? Because she said, I don't want to cook for you because I'm not eating. He said, what do you mean you're not eating? She said, I'm not going to eat until you get saved. He said, he cussed me up one side and down the other and said, I went to revival meeting and said, I went that night, I went the next night and the next night, and finally he came in and I was sitting back toward the back, said he sat down beside me, said, woman, you're starving me to death. I might as well get saved. And she said, when that preacher gave that altar call, said, the way he went running down that altar, I met this gentleman, shook his hand. He was full of the Holy Ghost and fire. It was because one woman had fresh faith, and she refreshed her faith year after year, day after day. She focused her faith. She wouldn't turn loose, praise God, until her husband got saved. You say, well, I hope my children get saved. If that's all you ever do and all you ever save, you ain't got no faith for your children to get saved. You got to get down on your bony knees or fat knees or whatever kind of knees you got. You got to get down on your knees and call their name. You got to develop and paint a picture of them saved and sanctified and spirit-filled. You got to do everything you can to entice them, bribe them, threaten them, badger them, twist their arms, put them in a half Nelson, full Nelson, whatever you can. I'm putting the pressure on them. You got to put oil on their doorsteps of their house. You got to go over and anoint their car. You got to get serious about this thing. I'm not letting my kids go to hell. You mamas, after all the pain you went through to get that kid here, you're going to let it go to hell? Oh, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to focus your faith, praise God, and say, that youngin' is going to go to heaven. I don't care what it takes. I'm not going to get it off my mind. It's there 365 days a year. It's there every day. When I praise God, you know what I'm praising God for? I'm praising God that my son's saved. I'm praising God that my daughter's saved. I'm praising God that they're in heaven. Hallelujah, because I just won't turn them loose. Friend, that's what it means to refresh your faith. That's what it means to have fantastic faith, great faith. You won't give up. You won't stop. You just keep doing it until you wear the devil out. The Bible said, you know, God never gets tired, but the devil gets tired, the Bible said. Just wear that old devil out until he loses grip on your family and on your finance and on your children, and you just won't give up. You just keep coming to the house of God. You just wear a path here. You're like that little widow woman. He said, I don't fear God nor regard man. She said, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm back every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Why? Because every day I get up and refresh my faith and say, this is the day. This is the day. It's going to happen. Praise God. It's this Sunday. It's this Wednesday. It's this day. My husband's getting saved. My family's getting saved. My bank account's going to enlarge. I'm going to get the job. My body's going to be healed. The doctors are going to change their report. Things are going to change because I got that kind of faith, and I refresh it every morning. Stand up on your feet. Jump as high as you can. Click your heels together and say, that's right, preacher. You're talking to me. I'm going to refresh my faith every morning. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demon of lethargy. I bind the demon of fear. I bind the demon of laziness. I bind the demon of just not wanting to do nothing. And I release faith into this building. And I refresh faith. Let it run ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep. Let there be faith to swim in. Let people that are about to give up not give up. But say, praise God, I want to have that job. I want to have that business. I want to have my family saved. I want to have that wife. I want to have that marriage. I want to have that house. I'm going to have that car. Don't give up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus used extreme examples to show us that nothing could be denied to faith. There's not one time in your life that you seriously have needed to walk on water. How many times you're in your car, just pull beside the freeway, say, boy, I wish I could walk across. You don't need to. There's a bridge over that. Jesus used extreme examples of things we'll never need to do to show us that the things that we need, no matter how impossible they seem, can be done if we will not relinquish our faith, but we will renew it and refresh it day by day. Back to the Word, back to the confession, back to the meditation, back to the speaking, back to the prayer, back to the fasting. Not going to let it go. There's somebody in this building right now, and I wouldn't expect an avalanche to this altar, but there's somebody in this building that you know that God has called you out and talked to you like as a one-on-one call on your cell phone, that you have had a big thing in your life that you desire. It's the substance of things hoped for, but for some reason in your life there's been an attack, and you just were about to let go, but tonight God has called you to this church in this building at this time for one purpose, and that is to refresh your faith, because you're inches, weeks, days, hours away from a manifestation. And I can tell you this, the closer you get to the substance of things hoped for, the harder the devil will attack your faith. So many people have been within arm's reach, within one stride of what they've been looking for a long time. But the devil was able to pry their fingers off at the last moment, and they lost, and they had to start all over again. In the name of Jesus, if you've got a dream that hasn't come to pass, if you've got a soul that you love that you know it's going to hell, if you've got a house that you really want, if you've got a job you really need, if you've got a marriage that's coming apart, whatever it is tonight, if you've got that situation in your life, I want you to run out of your pew, waving your hands and screaming to Jesus, saying, Lord, refresh my life.